You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are talking
while married.
Buenas noches, señora Martinelli. Estamos en Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Feliz 100 aniversidad.
Hey, Beto, shut up. This ain't the debates.
Well, I was just wishing you...
I have no idea what you said.
I was just wishing you a happy 100th anniversary show. And we're down here in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, one of our favorite places in the whole world, to have a coffee conversation. What do you think about that?
Well, love being in Mexico. I wish that we'd had air conditioning the last few days. That would have been even better. But yeah, it's our 100th show, and I'm really excited about that. It's kind of a little milestone for us.
And you know, it's nice to know that this is still Talking While Married and hasn't transitioned to Talking While Divorced.
No, and it never will.
I mean, we managed to get through 100 shows, and that's amazing in radio, okay?
And do you know why? Because we talk this way anyway every day. So amongst ourselves, this is what we'd be doing, whether it's on the radio or not.
Well, you know, it's so interesting because when we have friends visit us for coffee conversation and we're doing the show, including Mr. Malcolm Out Loud, they always are amazed that none of this is scripted and we just do this right off the top of our heads, just like when we're at the dinner table or having a drink later out on the screen porch or something like that. And they also said, I can't believe you actually do the shows where you say you do the shows.
Well, of course, but it's Talking While Married like hundreds of thousands of other families do across America.
Yeah, and so that's what I really like about this show. And because it is our 100th show, we're going to kind of switch it up a little bit during this hour. We're going to probably talk about, you know, our normal things, but we're going to kind of go outside the sandbox, so to speak, and talk about some other things. But let's just talk about what's going on recently, and that is the 2020 Democrat presidential candidates giving away stuff.
They all wanted to give away everything. And my voice is a little shaky tonight.
Well, so, you know what? That's because when we got here, the air conditioning worked, and then for some reason we had this huge, amazing lightning storm. I don't know whether it was a coincidence or not, but right after that, the air conditioning went out. So we've both been suffering for about 2 days, but we and you know, the last night we just opened up the sliding glass doors out into the ocean and let the windows open, and we had a cross breeze, and thank God it cooled everything down a little bit.
Yes. Sleeping in 90 degrees is not my favorite thing,
yeah, but
I'll tell you.
But thank God for the air conditioning technician that showed up today, and so we're good to go. But I see you got a little froggy in your throat. Ribbit.
But you're right about the Democrats wanting to give everything away. That's 20 of them wanted to give everything away. Free education, free medical, not only to U.S. people, but to illegals as well. What else was it? Free?
Well, let's just talk. Let's start out with one of my favorite people in the Democratic presidential candidates, and that's going to be Bernie Sanders. And he wants to give a living wage to everyone in America. And I thought what we might do, and Linda, you know, we should also write about this, parsing out the words of these, you know, of the rhetoric that the Democratic candidates use. So let's just start and have a little conversation about every American getting a living wage.
Okay. Well, let's see. How would we do that? And what is a living wage? That's the first question.
I think that's a great question.
And
to
who
ask.
Decides what a living wage is? Does Bernie decide that? If Bernie was president, is he the guy that's going to decide what your living wage is or what somebody else's living wage is? And what if those people have no skills to earn a living wage? What do they do to earn that living wage? Because a living wage is no small amount of money. It's not your McDonald's type of work, and it's not part-time work. So a living wage has to be something that you can afford to live on, to have shelter and food and the necessities of life.
And also take care of your family. That is a living wage. And he didn't say living wages. He said living wage. So to me, when I parse out that rhetoric, that means a job. Every person in the United States gets a living wage. He didn't say every American. He said every person in the United States gives a living wage. So I just wanted to start out with a particular demographic that tends to be very problematic in the United States, and that is the homeless population. Let's just start with Los Angeles County. Los Angeles County has approximately 65,000 homeless people. They are all American citizens and non-citizens. But according to Bernie, everyone in America would get a living wage. Does that mean that every single one of those 65,000 homeless people are going to get a living wage?
Well, I think, again, you have to see what he means by what he says, because the words don't even make any sense, really. But then, are they going to get a job to do? What if they don't want a job to do? What if they are not able to do a job? What if they are not educated to do a job? What if they like living on the street? I mean, there's so many things that are wrong with what he's saying. You cannot make this kind of guarantee. And if you're going to give people money for doing nothing, then we're all in big trouble. And you can't promise, this just has so many tentacles, Ron, it goes everywhere. You can't promise people a job and them be non-citizens, because how many more non-citizens are going to come in? And where are we going to get these jobs? Are we going to be putting people doing the thing like, you know, dig a hole and then fill it back up and then dig the hole and fill it back up? I mean, what are we going
to
do here?
Linda, you're not referring to President Obama's shovel-ready jobs, are you?
Well, that never happened.
Well, let's just talk about that. A living wage. What is the living wage? Is it going to be $20,000? Is it going to be $30,000? $40,000? What would it take to live in Los Angeles County, for instance? And how about this? Where are they going to be housed? Because you have, with your living wage, and I'm sure there'll be a bunch of different kinds of living wages for different skill sets, different education, different language barriers. You know, there's all sorts of things that are impediments, obstructions to getting employment. But if Bernie says that everybody in the United States is going to have a living wage, then that means they have to be able to afford housing. Let's talk about housing.
Well, and he guarantees them affordable housing. So who owns that housing? Does the government own the housing? Because right now, people own the housing. Citizens that live here, or people that own, you know, apartment houses or condominiums or different types of facilities for people to live in. Are you going to tell them what to charge for people to live in your place? Is that going to be the American way, where the government is going to decide what you are going to charge, yet you're going to be responsible, especially if you yourself as a property owner make a good living? You're going to be responsible for paying up to 90% of your money in taxes as well, and then you have to only charge what the government tells you to charge?
That's called rent control, isn't it?
And well, it's worse than that.
Well, we have rent control in many of our largest democratically controlled cities. I know they have rent control in San Francisco. I know they have rent control in areas in Los Angeles. I know they have rent control in New York City. And obviously, we have government-subsidized housing where the Section 8 program comes into play, and they control what the rents are going to be from the property owners.
And those, a lot of those places, Ron, are such substandard places to live, and they're filled with violence and crime. Not all of them, but a good percentage of them are, and that's not where we need to go in this country. The thing about what all the Democrats said that was so disturbing about giving everybody everything for free is human beings, just by the nature of what we are and how God made us, we strive to be better. And they are taking all of that incentive away from people and saying, here, we, the government, are going to be your parents now, and we're going to take care of you, and we're going to give you what we choose to parse out to you, and, you know, everything is going to be good. No, not for me, because I want to be able to excel to whatever level I can. I've always kind of seen it as this butterfly coming out of a cocoon, you know, that I want to fly as high as I can fly and be given the right to do that. Yet you're going to punish people like you and I and millions of other Americans who feel the same way from having the incentive to be better, to learn more, to educate ourselves, to get better training, to do better for ourselves.
Well, you know, there are so many levels or what do they call it? Layers of the onion with respect to what you are talking about. So let's just talk about your and my work ethos for a minute. Just like you said, we're like the butterflies. We want to educate ourselves. We want to be able to learn a number of skills. We want to be able to brand and rebrand. We want to be able to grow and take on new challenges and basically, as the butterfly does, evolve and fly to the highest level that we can possibly get. However, there are a lot of people that don't share that work ethos. They don't want to work, or they don't want to prepare themselves or build themselves up. They don't want to learn new skills. They're very happy to remain complacent at that lower wage, or even being slaves to government subsidies. And so that's really a problem. So I see a conflict between those of us that have the work ethos that the government is more than happy to take all of our earnings and to redistribute that wealth to other people that haven't applied themselves. They haven't educated themselves. They haven't trained themselves. They've made a lot of poor life decisions, and they are living, for instance, in government-subsidized housing and on the government dole.
But where is the motivation to change that if they give you everything? And, you know, I believe that there are many more people that do want to work and that do want to better themselves than not. But we always seem to cater to the lowest common denominator and not the highest. And I think that we need to change that. And I think that every single Democrat that I saw on the stage is absolutely in the wrong direction of how to motivate America to be a better place. Instead, they're taking us down, so they're taking the people at the top down to the lowest common denominator level.
Yeah, and then they also want to take the rich, so to speak, and they haven't defined what the rich are. What is the rich? Is the rich 250,000? Is the rich 500,000? Is the rich 1 million? I mean, what is the rich? And, of course, the moderators haven't asked them these probative questions.
No.
You know, so what is the rich? But Bernie and Elizabeth Warren and people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who's not a candidate, but I'm sure if she doesn't get voted out of office in, you know, the next cycle, she may certainly try to run for the president of the United States. But they want to take and they want to tax us anywhere from 75% to 90%. And I'll tell you, if they do that like they did in France, you're just not going to see people like you and me wanting to work like that. Because why should we?
Sure. That's exactly correct.
So you disincentivize,
yes,
people like us with a good work ethos in favor of people that have a completely dissimilar work ethos or no work ethos at all.
Well, and you're going to take that away from people, which I think is just a tragedy, just because human nature is and always has been, since the beginning of time, to do better and to make more things and to try new things and to, you know, just be better.
Well, you know, the next thing that seriously bothered me, and I want to spend a couple of minutes talking about that, is that every single one of the Democratic candidates raised their hands when they asked them, would you give free health care to illegal immigrants? And every single one of them raised their hands. And the New York Times looked on that. And, you know, the New York Times is a very liberal newspaper, not a friend of Donald Trump whatsoever. And when they took the picture of all of the candidates raising their hands, and the caption on the headline of the newspaper was, "Everybody that wants to lose the 2020 election, raise your hand." Okay? So we are talking about giving completely free, not subsidized, but free, zero money in, health care to 25 million illegal aliens. 25 million.
Yeah, well, while my employees get a $6,000 deductible to pay, this is just absolutely crazy that we American citizens should be paying the health care for people here illegally. And, you know, after we grab a cup of coffee, I want to talk to you further about that.
Yeah, and the other thing that we need, you know, to talk about is that the vast majority, I think there were only a couple, which really bothers me, out of, I don't know, what is there, like 23, 25 men and women that are running for president on the Democratic side. Everybody except for a couple of people were totally in favor of completely open borders and decriminalizing illegal immigration. So I just felt that that was just an amazing thing that they would come up with.
Well, I do as well. And I do want to talk about that because, I mean, if you think about the consequences of having open borders or decriminalizing illegal immigration into our country, just think about all of the consequences to that. Doesn't that just sound great? Let's let everybody come into America. Are you just kidding me? What about terrorists? What about child traffickers? What about drug dealers? You're going to open the borders so that anybody can come across our border and carry out any type of nefarious deeds that they would choose to carry out. And at the same time, we're going to pay them for their health care. I mean, this is...
I'm glad you brought that up, because if you're giving it to the 25 million illegal aliens in the United States, and then in the next breath you're saying we want to have open borders and we want to decriminalize illegal entry into this country, then that's exactly what you've done. You've torn the walls down. You've torn all the sanctions, all the vetting, everything down, and you're letting literally everybody in the world into the United States.
And why wouldn't the world flood into the United States, and we will be completely overrun, and we will be Venezuela in no time?
Absolutely. Let's take a break and have some coffee. Mexican coffee this time. I love it.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends, with 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Entonces, regresamos a la conversación de café.
Okay, Beto, stop.
Okay, listen, I'm just teasing you. So, yeah, we're having a good conversation in regards to what these Democratic candidates are saying, and when you really parse it out, I mean, you remove all the altruistic, idealistic rhetoric. That's really all it is. It's rhetoric that they are throwing out there, and they're giving free stuff, hoping that the free stuff argument or enticement is going to resonate with the leftist, progressive, and socialist base.
Right. And I want to go back to what we're talking about with no border control and free borders, open borders for everybody. The consequences of that people need to seriously think about. It is absolutely as dangerous as it can be for America. It is as unproductive as it can be, and it will devastate our cities and so many places. You have to think of all the different consequences that are going to happen from a move like that. We have those laws here for a reason. It is to protect Americans. It is to have a considered growth in this country in a way that helps our country, not hurts our country. And these are things that I just can't even imagine any responsible American, much less a presidential candidate, condoning having no border control. Do you understand the amount of people from the world, Ron, from all countries that would absolutely pour over our borders?
Well, you know, the key is what you said. Can you imagine any responsible American saying something like that? Well, no, I can't. And none of these candidates, in my eyes, are responsible Americans. They're all irresponsible Americans. Look at where they've been. They've been in the Congress, which is a do-nothing Congress that right now has the lowest credibility rating of any Congress in the history of the United States at about 11%. Look at these senators. What have they done? What have these Congress people done? All these candidates that are running for the United States presidential position haven't done a damn thing but open their mouths and cause a lot of trouble. But it's just rhetoric. It's meaningless rhetoric once you parse it out and analyze and consider what they're really saying.
See, I don't know if it's meaningless. To me, it's frightening.
Well, I get what you're saying. What I mean is, in the real world, it's meaningless because it can't ever happen because of the consequences that you're talking about.
But they're willing to bring those consequences down on our heads, just like the state of California has been willing to raise taxes and taxes and taxes and gas prices and all the things. And now they are giving illegals free health care, and now they are not prosecuting, say, the DMV for giving out voting rights to people who they shouldn't have. There are no consequences anymore in this country. And that's a big subject that I'm willing to get into right now, because not having consequences, thanks to our liberal judges, thanks to our liberal politicians, is absolutely destroying our country.
Well, no, you're exactly right. And you know, it's funny because when we started the show and we kind of started this segment, I'm kind of fooling around and I'm speaking Spanish and I'm pretending I'm Beto O'Rourke and also Cory Booker. You hear a white boy like Beto O'Rourke, and by the way, he doesn't have 1 ounce of Hispanic blood in him. Okay, he's basically an Irish.
Neither one of them.
He's
do.
An Irish Catholic white boy, and the other guy's a black guy from New Jersey
who's totally. And neither
totally,
do you.
Who's right? Exactly. I'm Italian. I'm lucky I speak Spanish. But you know, you're talking about two guys that are frauds. It's like the Elizabeth Warren. I was surprised she didn't start speaking Spanish. Okay,
oh,
being Indian.
She needs to speak Indian, right?
but anyway, I think Cherokee or something, right? She's from back east. But listen, this is fraudulent, it's a farce, and it doesn't take the United States of America or its real citizens anywhere. And this has nothing to do with with race or culture or anything like that. These are when people throw out, when you and I talk about things like this, about illegal immigration and what it's doing to this country, and maybe someone would from the progressive left would throw out, oh, that's very racist, or it's this. It's none of that. Okay, you and I never say that we are against immigrants coming into this country.
Absolutely,
because we're
not.
Absolutely not. We're both the children of immigrants. I'm first generation American. You know, you're second generation Dutch. I mean, we understand that. But what we want in this country is legal immigration. We want people to come into this country legally. We want them to be vetted. We want them to bring something to the table. This is not the way the United States was over 100 years ago when we got the Statue of Liberty from France. Give us your tired, your poor, your, you know, unwashed masses, whatever. You know, this is not then when we needed pretty much everybody from Europe to come right. in and help us grow our country, which was becoming an industrialized nation. This is far different.
And that it goes to that little sentence, that was then and this is now.
Exactly.
We cannot afford to have millions of people, uneducated, unskilled, who don't speak English, come into this country. It's a burden on our system. And if you want to stay the greatest nation on the face of the earth, and you want to have a better quality of life, which we do, than any other nation on the face of the earth, we need to protect that. And I want to go back to what I said about consequences, Ron. They need to have consequences, but so does everybody who does things that are against the law. And this new thing that we have going on in this country, which is increasing by leaps and bounds, to have people be excused from any consequence for their crimes. And I think that you were talking to me about Antifa being excused for their actions. And it's just unacceptable. And we need to stop that in this country. How dare these judges and politicians decide that people can do harm to us and have no consequences?
Well, you know, you're exactly right. And, you know, we as former law enforcement officers, we took an oath to serve and protect the United States and defend the United States against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. So we take basically the same oath of office that politicians take, and we take the same oath of office as our military service people take. The problem is that we remembered our oaths, and people today who are politicians and some police people are forgetting their oaths. And so we've made a really good transition. I appreciate you going there and talking about Antifa, because as a subject matter expert in these areas, I know a lot about this subversive organization. And I've talked to police officers across this nation about these different subversive groups. And in Portland, Oregon, which I've been an expert for the city, you have a mayor there. You have a relatively new mayor, and his name is Ted Wheeler. But he's not only the mayor, Linda. This guy, this Mayor Wheeler, has gotten himself into the position of not only being the mayor, but being the police commissioner, which is ludicrous that they would let this person have these two important, critical administrative positions. Because as police commissioner, he provides oversight to the Portland Police Bureau. And basically, Antifa, because he is a supporter of Antifa, he is letting Antifa run roughshod in that city, and it's destroying, this group is destroying this city, and it's hurting people, and people are going to die as a result of it. And Wheeler, for political reasons, being the left of progressive left and a supporter of Antifa, and what a confusing and totally inappropriate name. This group is the biggest bunch of fascists to hit the United States since Mussolini and his black shirts and Adolf Hitler and his brown shirts SS Waffen during the late 20s, early 30s, and into the 40s where we had World War II. This is disgraceful. Mayor Wheeler is a disgrace, and I am so disappointed in the Portland Police Officers Association for not standing up and remembering their oath and taking Mayor Wheeler on.
Well, and they have put several journalists in the hospital with their antics about attacking them at their rallies that they show up to. But to have our law enforcement officials, whether they be politician types or whether they be police chief types, not prosecute these guys.
And stand down. and not
have
take
the
them
officers,
on.
Yeah, have the officers stand down. I mean, I just can't even imagine where are we going in this country that we are giving those people, again, more rights than the people that are there legally doing their job, being journalists. You have taken their rights and given them to those Antifa people who are then harming them and doing nothing about it. We are asked backwards on this, Ron, and I'm just so shocked sometimes at where we're going in this country, and I'm really, really shocked at the politicians that are making these decisions that we're seeing about standing down, about not prosecuting people, about letting people off. I mean, we could get into a whole conversation there. There have been people recently who did horrible things like shooting 3 different people and getting a short sentence or probation. I mean, it's just crazy where we're going. Does nobody have to be accountable for their bad behavior anymore? Well, speaking of bad behavior, I want to talk about some good behavior. I want to talk about a politician who we both admire and we respect and we think does the right thing by people. So we were privileged to have lunch with Governor Greg Abbott from Texas just recently, and it was a very enjoyable event. And what always surprises me about Governor Abbott is how much he has his finger on the pulse of the people of Texas. You can ask him almost any question, and he will know the answer, and he will know what's happening in the legislature for that particular issue. He will tell you what he's doing about it, tell you what he's done about it. And we talked a bit about what they did in just the most recent legislative session.
Oh, the 84th legislative session. Mm-hmm. You know what I really like about Governor Greg Abbott is he's a politician, but he's a real guy.
Yeah, he is.
Where all the other politicians that I think you and I have met over our years have not been real people. I mean, it's a very, very rare thing. They're usually surrounded by their gatekeepers and their handlers, and it's hard to have contact with them. It's very difficult to have a conversation or speak with them. And Governor Abbott is not like that at all. He's not surrounded by his gatekeepers. They actually sort of stand off to the side, and he wants to talk with the real people, with the real voters. And he's genuinely just a swell guy.
He is, and he looks at you in the eye, and he directly answers your question. And I got to say that even at this event, there were other politicians there, and you don't get that same kind of straight answer. You get kind of that politician gobbledygook,
yeah,
which is what I call it.
Yeah. Well, there's an unnamed state senator that we were talking to, and I asked him a very simple question, and I got sort of a convoluted, you know, sort of political answer. And, you know, that's just sort of a turnoff, but that's just the way that they're bred, and I think that's just part of their DNA as a politician.
I think what that means is I don't really know the answer, so I'm going to, you know, go all around and see if I can just BS you. And Governor Abbott does not do that. I am always amazed that when you ask him a question, and questions from an audience are varied, and they're from all different directions, and things that I certainly didn't know were happening. And he knows the answer, and he can say, you know, here's what we did, and here's who's in charge of that, and here's how we're handling that. And I'm just amazed that he actually knows what's going on. And he's done some things for Texas, and I'll give you an example. Just in this last legislative session, they did what? Our property taxes are high in Texas. He reduced them. He reduced them this year. And there's another additional reduction next year. And then he put a cap on where they can go. Tell me another state that is doing that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think this coming year we're going to get a 5% reduction, and next year we're getting a 10% reduction on our property taxes. The next thing he did was celebrate teachers, and I love that. And teachers in Texas are getting a raise. But, you know, we were talking about border issues because you and I had a couple of questions about border issues and enforcement. And he said, you know, I'm tired of this federal government. We're working with them, but they work kind of slow, and, you know, there's all this resistance movement going on in Washington.
Well, and Congress wouldn't give the money to get more people down
exactly
to the border.
Right. And so what Abbott has done, Governor Abbott has done, is he has ordered 1,000 more National Guard and DPS, which is our Department of Public Safety, our state troopers, down to the Texas southern borders to protect us. And we're just going to spend our own money in Texas.
Well, and 72% of the people coming over the border are coming through El Paso and I think Laredo area.
Yeah, which happens to be Beto O'Rourke's area.
Right. So yes, he took action where our congresspeople would not take action. I'm going to go back to the teachers, though.
Yeah.
Because this is something that I have harped on for years and years and years about teachers. Teachers should not get paid by their tenure. These teachers' unions, to me, are absolutely unnecessary and a waste of people's money. They should get paid on merit.
Exactly.
They should get paid if they are really good teachers, their kids are learning, the kids like them, they relate well, they're getting the job done that they're there to do, then they should get paid more money. And that's exactly what Governor Abbott did in Texas. And he is giving them raises up into the six figures, which is amazing to me, but based on merit. And the teachers that don't do a good job, they're going to have to go. And that's how it should be. Nobody should have tenure and be able to stay no matter what, no matter if they sexually abuse a child, no matter if they are a terrible teacher, no matter if they have a terrible personality, they get to stay. I just have always thought that was terrible. And I am so, so happy to see that he did this in Texas.
You know, he and his staff are such good communicators because after we had lunch with him, they were doing a town hall right after that.
Yes.
You know, so they're doing a town hall, and we do town halls in Texas a little bit different. We do them two ways. One of the things is we do a physical town hall where people are there, and they come and they meet the governor, and they ask him questions. But the thing that we like, and I think this happens because Texas is such a gigantic state, and it's so rural, that we do telephonic town halls where we kind of get on like Skype or Zoom or something like that. And electronically, we as citizens and voters of the Republic of Texas, we can talk directly to the governor and he'll take your questions and ask and answer those questions right over the air. I just think it's fascinating.
Yeah, it's a whole different type of thing than we ever had to deal with in California. But anyway, that was a great experience and I really enjoyed that. And hope that we can do it again sometime.
Well, let's have our last cup of coffee, Linda, because there's a lot more to get into.
Okay.
I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
As former law enforcement officers, we know that your life and the lives of those you love and work with can change in an instant when you encounter an active shooter.
Unfortunately, in today's world of uncertainty, encountering an armed active shooter can have deadly consequences. That's why the key to survival is training and preparedness.
And that's why we want to invite our listeners to seriously consider taking our Response to Active Shooter training course.
Violence can happen to you anytime and anywhere and when you least expect it. Having a response and survival plan and engaging it can be the difference between life and death for you or a family member.
Our Response to Active Shooter courses are customized for the corporate, school, church, restaurant, and small business environment at a reasonable budget that fits your needs.
So don't put this life-saving training off because you don't think it will ever happen to you. We call those people victims.
Our Response to Active Shooter instructors are all nationally renowned tactical law enforcement experts who will guide you through the life-saving protocols you'll need to survive an active shooter event.
So be a victor, not a victim. Go to ResponseToActiveShooter.com to learn more today.
Remember, that's all one word, ResponseToActiveShooter.com, and be safe out there.
Hey, Lynn, well, we're back with our last segment of our 100th anniversary show on America Out Loud, Talking While Married from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And we said at the beginning of the show that we were going to switch it up.
Yep, we're going to switch it up a little bit, and talk about ourselves, which is not something that we usually do, but we've had a lot of questions from listeners. And normally, Ron, the style of our show really is to talk to each other and let people just kind of listen, because I believe, and you believe, that people in America, all over America, talk just like we do at their dinner tables. But they don't have time to go out and get involved in everything. And the news talks at you, and we don't want to talk at anybody.
You know, I really agree with that. So this is going to work right into the first question that we have about talking while married.
Okay.
How did you start this show, and where did the idea come from?
Well, just to back up a little bit, Ron and I both started at America Out Loud, which, by the way, is just a phenomenal idea of Malcolm Out Loud. And it's a really great place to be a part of, because the people there are so very talented, and it's such an ethical place to have this opportunity both to write and to speak from. So what we did is both of us started writing columns for America Out Loud. And at the point when Malcolm had a show that was coming on called
Life, Liberty, and the
Pursuit of Pleasure.
Oh, there you go. I could never remember the end of that.
Yes. I was invited to be one of the hosts on that show, and there were 10 women. And so I did that for a year, and it was just such a phenomenal experience. And after that show, you're kind of let down, like, what are we going to do from here? And Malcolm and I talked, unbeknownst to you, Ron,
right,
and had a thought about another show. But shows can be a lot of work. It's a lot of research and a lot of trying to know what you're talking about. So Ron and I went out and had a nice dinner together.
And you had a couple of glasses of wine.
A couple of glasses of wine, which is always dangerous for me. And I got to thinking on the way home, and I mentioned to Ron that Malcolm and I had talked about a show, but that I really wasn't going to do another show, except for that I really love doing shows that we have guest hosted on with each other. And I would do a show if we could do it together. And you said...
I said, yeah, that would probably work. Now, you know, my idea for the show, which was not accepted, was a show that was going to be kind of like Seinfeld. It was going to be a show about nothing.
Well, it kind of still is, because it's just whatever comes up. But Malcolm said, well, what would that look like with you and Ron together? And I said, well, Ron and I, we talk every day, and we think that we are like lots and lots of Americans, and we're frustrated with the system, and we're frustrated with the lies that we're told, and we're frustrated with fake news.
And we don't like people talking at us and
right,
telling us what to think. We are common self-conservatives. That's how we, you know, identify with. We're common sense conservatives. We have the same thoughts and ideas that a lot of other Americans, especially in flyover states like we live in Texas, are thinking. But people are so busy working that they can't be engaged. So we thought, let's get them engaged in the same types of subjects and conversations that they have at home.
Right, just to make people think about, you know, like we talked about this evening, the consequences of what these Democratic candidates are trying to propose for America. What, you know, let's take it another step and think about those consequences. So that's really how it evolved. And Malcolm actually came up with the name just because he knows us well. He knows that we talk together constantly, and it's just something that we always do, regardless of talking while married. This is something you and I would do every day.
And you and I wanted the objective of the show to be you and me talking, Lynn, just like we do every single night after we watch the news, or during the time we watch the news, and we're not throwing objects at the television, listening to the progressive left news media. And we wanted our guests to sort of be a fly on the wall and listen to our coffee conversation.
Yes. Yep. And so many people have made us feel very gratified by telling us that this is how they talk at home too, that they could be at our dinner table. And I love that. So that's really how this show started. And I think you'll agree with me that we so thoroughly love doing it, and just love the response that we get.
Yeah, and it gets produced a couple of times a week on America Out Loud, and then we go to podcasts, don't we?
Yes.
And so you can pull down if you miss America Out Loud, if you miss Talking While Married, you can pull us down 24/7 on any kind of smart device. And what's really kind of neat is we've been driving across the United States, and all of a sudden, we'll turn on our application. So they got to get an app, and there's one for Apple and there's one for Android. And these days, the technology is just amazing. So you can literally be anywhere. You can be in Europe. We down here in Mexico, we listen to Talking While Married and all the other shows on America Out Loud. And so that's how that's done. But here's the next question. And this comes from Jamie from Tucson, Arizona, Linda. And Jamie asks, well, how do you pick the topics that you're going to talk about every night?
Well, we kind of do pick topics, but for the most part, we're very spontaneous. I would say that Ron and I, we read a lot. We're kind of voracious readers, and we like to know what's happening every day. And although we both have busy businesses and we're doing our regular day jobs, just like every other American is doing, all day, every day, and probably more than that, in between times, when we can, we keep abreast of what's happening in the news. And being opinionated people, we have an opinion about it. So when we sit down together to talk, more often than not, we don't know what each other is going to talk about, but we probably have really read up or listened to the same types of things at sometimes during the day. And sometimes there's a big subject, and we do more research on it because we want to get our facts as right as we can. So more often than not, I would say, and hopefully you agree, that we just we talk about the things that are really, really of interest to us in that given time frame.
And, sometimes Linda does some interest stories that I really like, and she comes out with some quizzes for me to try to put me on the spot. and then we have our heroes of the day, because we are always celebrating law enforcement, our first responders, and our military. And so we try to switch it up with stuff like this. Linda, this question comes from Gloria from San Jose, California. And Gloria says, what is it like breeding and competing with bucking bulls at Professional Bull Riders Association?
Well, I never breed or compete with bucking bulls, but the bulls do all that. But, we love having the bucking bulls. The bucking bulls are just, I don't know why, it's an animal that I've loved for a lot of years. I'm in awe of their power and their personalities. It's like having a bunch of different dogs, have different personalities.
And we have 20 of them.
And they are just so much fun to be a part of. And we have a great trainer, Aaron Halpain, who we love to pieces. And, he works with the bulls. As far as breeding them, there are times that we will purchase bulls, and there are times that we will match up the male and female
and genetically breed them.
Yeah, make our own baby bulls and see where we go with it, and we've had pretty good luck with that. So it's a hoot. It's a lot of fun. I'm honored to be able to be kind of a gentleman
rancher
with that, and attend the events, and just truly love it. And the thing that I really love, Ron, the people that are involved in the bucking bull sport, by the way, nobody ever hurts the bulls. That's if you hear that, that's a fallacy. The people are as American apple pie as you can get. They are the nicest people. You will never see drunks and fights and problems at one of the events. They just are all-American people.
You know, and I would encourage our coffee listeners that if you haven't ever gone to a Bucking Bull competition, please take the time and go to one, especially if it's a Professional Bull Riding Association, a PBR event. They're holding them in cities all around the country. They do a lot of competitions. Of course, it's international competition. They have Americans, Mexicans, Canadians, New Zealanders, and of course, the amazing, powerful Brazilian teams. And like Linda says, the bulls are absolutely phenomenal. This past year and going into the current season, we've had five of our bucking bulls in competition, and you can see them on CBS Sports, including our 2016 Futurity World Champion Ringo Kidd. And I just have to blame Linda about all this stuff because Linda's the person that's been involved with the bucking bull industry since Christ was a corporal, and talked me in buying our first bulls, and we've just, like Linda said, we've just had a hoot doing it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's not something that makes us a living, but it's something that enhances our lives.
Exactly. Now, Linda, this question comes from Jerry in San Antonio, Texas. How many kids do you have, and what do they do?
Well, we have four grown adult kids. The oldest being a girl, and she has been basically a biologist working in a pharmaceutical laboratory, but just recently she moved to Texas right up the street from us, and now she runs our ETC forensic, that's education training certification.
Online training program.
Online training program for forensic experts and law enforcement. So she is brilliant, and we love her to death, and she runs that program. She also runs our firearms program. So,
which is called Street Safe Defense,
yep.
Both in California and in Texas out of New Braunfels.
So she's a multi-talented lady. And the next one is all the rest are boys. And then the next one is...
Do them age-wise. So the next one would be Danny.
Yes, and he works in my business, my printing and promotional business, and is a top salesman and sales manager for my company. And the next one...
Is Brian, and
yes.
He's a police officer. He's a corporal in Santa Maria, California. And Brian is completing his master's in forensic science and is a use of force instructor, and he's looking forward someday to maybe being a forensic expert.
Well, and I didn't say, but our daughter also has a degree, a master's degree in forensic science, too.
Right, both from National University,
yep.
A great college.
And the last one, the baby, is a firefighter paramedic in Texas and married and... You know, just absolutely couldn't be more proud of the four of them.
Yeah. So we're sort of a first, except for Danny, who's in sales with Mom, we're sort of a first responder family.
Well, but he's taught firearms for us, and he has all those same skills. He also has a degree in EMT.
Right. And he's just fantastic. Well, Linda, this question comes from Bob in New Mexico. And Bob wants to know, are you really doing talking while married in those different locations that you talk about when you're on the radio?
We really are doing it in different places because we're on the road quite a bit, and therefore we have to talk from wherever we are. And just a good example is right now we're in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and kind of exciting because last year, I don't know if people remember, but we did a number of shows from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, on the day that they were going to elect their new president. Well, now that they have their new president, we are revisiting some of those people this week to see how things are going with their new president. And you and I have really noticed while we are here today the incredible amount of building going on in Puerto Vallarta, which was a huge surprise to us.
Right, and we've seen some tremendous upgrades.
Yes.
And all of them really good. And we can see that the Mexican economy is picking up, is doing pretty darn well. And the people that we've been talking about, we've only been here for just a couple of days, but, you know, we love to speak to everybody because it's all about, you know, the story, everybody's
yes.
story.
Yes.
And people seem to be pretty excited where Mexico is going right now. But we're going to be talking about that in another show this week.
Yep, we are.
But anyway, getting back to where we've done the show in the past, like now we're doing it right out of the condo in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, looking out at the beautiful Bay of Banderas. Just a gorgeous view, but we've done a whole bunch in our RV while we've been, you know, traipsing across the United States. We did several programs in Europe when we were on a scenic river cruise, and so we've done them in Austria and Germany, and we did one from Amsterdam.
Yes.
And right on the top of the boat, actually, while we're on the river going down the beautiful river, and we're doing shows and watching the countryside going right past us, and people on the riverboat are standing around and watching us do the show.
And we also did Florence, Italy, which was really a fun show.
Oh my God, we did one from the Piazza di Aldo Brandini del Papa, where Pope Clement VII resided part-time for his summer residence, and we've done one a couple of blocks away from the Hotel Baglioni.
Yes.
So we've just done some, yeah, so we're really there. And when we are in Texas and we say we're on the screen porch, we're really on the screen porch. And as a matter of fact, Malcolm chided us one time because he could hear crickets in the background. So yeah, the answer is yes, we really do the shows where we say we're going to
do
the
And we really
show.
Drink coffee while we're doing the shows.
Yeah, or a beer or tea or whatever Linda's making at the time. And when she says we're eating a dessert, we're really eating that dessert.
Well, I just want to say one more thing. Because we're going to go back now to talking with each other. And maybe on our 200th show, we'll again talk to the audience. But if people haven't had a chance to get on America Out Loud and read all of the great bloggers on that particular site and read all of the people that write their columns, the people that have talk shows, I have the utmost respect for this particular medium, AmericaOutloud.com, because the people there are brilliant, they are talented, they are real, they are authentic, and they're not telling you how to think and what to think, and they're not trying to manipulate people's minds to think a certain way. They're just telling it how it is, and these are everyday people that live in all of our world. They're not talking heads.
You know, and it would be wonderful if people that, you know, this show, not this show, but this network should really appeal to the same people that watch Fox News and that watch One American News and listen to, you know, more conservative radio and media outlets. I mean, we cover it all, but you can tell that when you and I are speaking, Linda, we really are speaking as common sense conservatives. The next thing people should know is how to acquire Talking While Married and America Out Loud. So there is a free app that they can download whether you have an iPhone or whether you have an Android. And so all you have to do is go into your Play Store, you know, how you get your apps, and just type in Talking While Married, and that app is going to bounce up there, and you can download that app.
Or America Out Loud. And if you go to AmericaOutloud.com, you can download right from there. And you can listen on your iHeartRadio in your car. You can listen to any of the people that are talking on America Out Loud. It's a wonderful place to learn something new. And I love and am honored to be a part of that station.
And I want to give you a little bit of a plug, and I'll give my show a plug. So listen, Linda writes amazing columns on America Out Loud, so just look for Linda Martinelli and her weekly columns. And those of you that have an interest in forensics, I hope you'll join me on A Thread of Evidence. And that show is changing because we're bringing in a new co-host, Dr. Joni Johnston. And that is A Thread of Evidence that comes on Monday through Friday nights on America Out Loud.
Right after Talking While Married.
Right after Talking While Married. And young lady, I just want to tell you how wonderful it's been to be with you for 100 shows, and I'm so excited that we got through show 100.
Well, and here's to the next 100 shows, and guess what? I'm not going to bed. I'm going to go jump in the pool.
And I'm going with you.